I am so excited. I feel like it's like Christmas morning because of our speaker today. This is a couple that has meant so much to me. You know, I tell the story a lot about when we came out here. Actually, in 1999, we felt the call of the Lord to plant a church, and we had all kinds of ideas of where we were going to go. Pleasanton, or maybe down the coast, Pismo Beach. We felt a real call and a real need for a ministry there. And we went to meet with our supervisor, and I've told you the story about how he leaned across the desk and he said, "Are you willing to go anywhere?" So he's the one who's responsible for, well, the Lord used him to be the messenger to call us to come to Utah. So we have some history together, and this couple is a power couple. I don't say that about everyone, but they truly are, and they are highly, highly respected in our movement. We are part of an interdenominational denomination called Foursquare, and they are very influential, very highly respected, and considered some of the I won't say elders because we're a little sensitive about the age thing today, aren't we? But they are very highly respected. And the reason is because they are very respectable. I call them the pastors of Sunset Boulevard because they have a ministry down in Los Angeles, right off Sunset Boulevard, which, as you know, is a highly sketchy area. And they, when they walk into a room of a shop or a restaurant or whatever, you can sense the atmosphere change. They are bringing the light into the darkness, and they have story after story after story of the faithfulness of God. And I have to say, Benita, Robbie's wife, is a woman of great mercy and compassion, and she has a heart to reach out to the Cambodian orphans. She has been responsible for ministering and bringing all kinds of life in Cambodia. And I think you're one of God's favorites. So Robbie agrees with me, right? Better say that. And Robbie is, I think, probably as well as Benita, but Robbie is one of the nicest people on the face of the earth. You will not find a person who is nicer and genuinely loving. He makes everyone feel as if they were his very most favorite person in the planet. That's a gift that he has. And he is going to come today and bring a word that is really profound and very impactful. So I just invite you to open up your heart and welcome one of my fathers in the faith, Robbie Booth.
Thank you, Jody. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Good morning and Merry Christmas. By the way, where is Chase? Is he in here? Yeah. Thank you for the little reference of the older man coming up here for the stool. It was very appreciated. Hey, I want to tell you, I could not say good enough for the whole Van Rie clan. My love for Eric, and of course he's still alive, more alive, yes, in heaven. And my love for Jody is tremendous. And I wanted to share with you just a little bit because her story was pretty close to what I remember too. And I was tickled as we were talking. And, you know, what I would mean if we're just three human beings sitting in the same room trying to figure out what God wants? How many of you understand? I mean, most of you sitting right here right now are on a journey of trying to figure out what the Lord wants in your life as well. Yes? And it is a journey. And when I was sitting there with them, I was on one side of the desk, they were on the other, and they were telling me about Pleasanton, and by the way, the East Bay, that is the East Bay area of California. It's on the east side of the San Francisco Bay and then up over one hill. It's a beautiful area. It's probably rightly named Pleasanton, all right? Pismo Beach, another beautiful area. My son lives there, and there's a lot of great ministry going on in Pismo Beach. But the Lord spoke to me, and I I always take that with great respect, but a little bit of apprehension. I'm not one of those people that would quickly come up to you and say, hey, the Lord just told me thus and so, unless we knew one another well, and I knew you would weigh it out yourself. Do you understand? And the Lord does speak to me often. And thank God. I mean, if you knew the wretched background I came from, you wouldn't even listen to me right now. My favorite of all the songs this morning was that one when it said, 100 billion failures. You know, when he speaks, 100 billion. I won't even try to sing because I don't, but 100 billion failures swept away. Wow. How many of you, the Lord has had to forgive you more than once? Huh? And he loves us. I'm amazed. Be amazed. Be freshly awed in his love. Well, anyway, so we're there trying to figure out what the Lord wants, and they're there, and Eric and Jody are both awesome people, and they're there with an open heart in that meeting. And the Lord speaks to me while we're sitting there and said, they're to go to Utah. I've called them to Utah. And I thought, how do I tell them this? They're talking Pleasanton. They're talking Pismo Beach, you know. And I said, listen, I want to tell you guys something. I want to downplay this, but I really felt like the Lord just told me that you're to go to Utah and you're to plant a church there. But I said, here's what I want you to do. Don't trust my word. I'm going to pay for your airfare and your hotel and your rental car and your food. Take a vacation over there for 3 days. Just go over, drive around, pray, and come back and tell me the Lord does not want you there. How's that? And you know, they said, yes, she's sitting here. Isn't that right? Don't you appreciate Eric, though in heaven, and Jody, who said yes to the Lord and sensitive the Lord? And I want to say this to you, Pastor Jody. By the way, you have a phenomenal team. Over the last 3-4 days, we've been here since Thursday, got to meet with some of your church staff. I mean, I would move here just to see these people again, all right? I mean, they're fabulous. But the Lord instead calls me to downtown L.A., all right? I tried to get, you know, Draper, you know, Lord, you want me over there? Anyway, but hey, he called you here, isn't that right? You know, every one of you are salt and light for Christ, and this is just the minister's meeting today, and then you get out of the shaker and you go into your community and represent him. Amen? I want to say something about Jody because just a phenomenal lady. The integrity that she has. But I want to say thank you because it bothers me when I see a pastor that is living one way in front of you and a different way behind the scenes. Do you understand? And thank God, and I don't mind then signing my name to her. Huh? In other words, by being here, I am thrilled to support Pastor Jody and the team here and you. You guys are phenomenal. Well, with all that said, I feel like God's given me a word for you. So turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter number 32. And this is an interesting section. I don't fear this a lot, but I wonder a little bit if I'm going to be letting the Holy Spirit just preach to me this morning. So if you understand, I'm going to just be here as a friend of yours who is letting the Lord speak to me, and hopefully he has something to say to you as well through a scripture. Yes? Yes. How many of you are open to that? Yes. Respond back. I'm a therapist, so I look at you and you look at me, all right? And I can tell if you're looking at me. I can tell if you're talking, all right? Anyway, so keep up the good work. Anyway, so This is the story of Jacob. It's the unique section. I mean, it's where he's wrestling with God. And whether you've realized this or not, it's a little bit interesting on how he wrestles with the Lord and what happens in it. And it's powerful how it ends, because this was a life changer for a guy who spent his life manipulating people. He was a supplanter. He was an opportunist. He's your relative that shows up at the family gathering that you think, watch your wallet, hon. You know, I mean, he's the one that comes poor and leaves with somebody's money, you know. And this was Jacob. By the way, the part that I also like is that he had a relationship with the Lord. So it tells me that we're on a journey growing. And even when we have a few warts going on, and even when we're, you know, wrestling through, even spoiling some relationships, etc., because that's what he was busy doing, he was still named amongst God's people. Yay! Huh? But he was leaving ravaging relationships. He was just leaving a scatter everywhere he went. I don't want to do that. How about you? Yeah. Say it with me. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to leave ruin in my path. I'd like to leave life in my path. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Some of you are looking a little iffy. And you look at me like I'm a little iffy, all right? But so read this with me. And one of the things I'm aware of, probably a bunch of us could get up and testify of this, is that God has planned encounters for every one of us. Isn't that right? So read this. We're going to start Genesis 32. You know, he's been 14 years over in with his uncle Laban where he was getting ripped off, and he was probably ripping him off too. Anyway, and he's having to come back. God's called him back to the place, the land of his father. But there is somebody he has to face who wanted to murder him last time he saw him. And it says in verse 22 of Genesis 32, it says, he arose that night. And he took his two wives. Boy, how fitting where we're preaching that. Anyway, he took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them, and he sent them over the brook, and he sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man, by the way, if you're reading from a Bible text, it'll capitalize it because it is referring to God. But this was not a spirit that was wrestling with him. This is a real life wrestling that happened between God, who was having flesh to him while he was wrestling with Jacob, and Jacob. And it says, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now he, that being God, saw that he did not prevail against him, Jacob. And so he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. By the way, you'll read later, he lived with that limp the rest of his life. Now, by the way, this isn't going to be one of my teachings, but this is what friends do. We talk about stuff, huh? I think, how come he touched his hip? How come in the middle of the wrestling, and it doesn't say why? I read a bunch of commentaries trying to appear intellectual to you, like I'd studied, all right? And nobody gave an answer that made any sense to me.
He cheated.
All right? Anyway, but here's what I would give my best guess into. You ready for this? Jacob had spent his life running from the stuff that he caused. And the Lord touched him in his run, which was causing only further destruction, to stop the destructive run. So he limped with his weakness rather than ran with it. How many of you would say, Lord, would you, by the way, this is dangerous, would you touch my area in my life today where I run from you? How many of you would say amen? I want you to raise your hand. I want to see who's going there with me. All right. Lord, touch my area where I have ran from you in, that I am weakened in my run away from you, strengthened in my run to you. Amen? So it goes on and says, and he said, this is referring to God, let me go for the day breaks. And by the way, I'm thinking, okay, did God like have another appointment that he needed to go to? Come on, think it through. Was this about God, or was this his need to leave was about Jacob? Because God is omnipresent. He didn't have a coffee meeting. Hey, it's daybreak. I have an hour to get there. All right? No, he's basically saying to Jacob, your wrestling has to end. It has to stop. There has to be an end to this. I'm going to draw a line for you right now. And so Jacob then says back to him, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then he, that being God, said to him, what is your name? By the way, I'm sorry. I wasn't born and raised a Christian. These questions are funny to me. I think, God, you're wrestling on purpose with Jacob and you don't know his name? How many say, I think there's something different about that, huh? He wasn't asking his name for God's benefit. He was asking his name for his benefit. Let's go on. It says, he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob. By the way, remember, he was named by his character. That's what, it was Jewish custom. So you'd see a child born and maybe they were screaming a lot. They'd call him Scream-a-Lot. You know, or he's always hungry. Hey, hungry, come here. You know, they name him Hungry. You know, his brother Esau was real hairy. That's what Esau means, hairy. Can you imagine calling him at the kitchen table? Hey, pass the potatoes, Harry. And by the way, can you keep your hair out of it? All right, did it, but pass it. Jacob, supplanter, manipulator, liar, deceiver. Do you realize that every day of his life, every time somebody called him, his mom, his dad, his brother, his uncle, whoever was calling him, they were telling him what he was. They were making an identification comment to him. So, hey, supplanter, you know, liar, hey, pass the steak, all right? Or liar, come here and take out the trash. Listen, some of you have been called names that you're living out. Come on, some of you have called yourself names and identified yourself by things that you're still living out. What is your name, Jacob? He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Guess what Israel means? Not liar. It means prince with God. A little Luke 15 going on. Like the prodigal son, bring him my best robe. Give him my ring to do the family business. Give him the sandals that show that he is accepted in this family. He's not a slave. He's one of my sons. He's one of my, for you girls, one of my daughters. Amen? Name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And then Jacob answered, tell me your name, I pray. He said, why is it you ask my name? He blessed them there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. My life is preserved. So he crossed over Peniel. The sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Let's talk about three things, because quite frankly, when I was praying for you, I felt like 2018 is a year where your wrestling will turn into breakthrough. How many of you have been wrestling through some stuff? Lift your hand. Might be private, might be something that other people know. God has an intended breakthrough for you. I want to talk about three things with that. The first is this. It's the notation that he was wrestling with the Lord. Verse 24, Jacob was alone, a man wrestled with him till the breaking of day. That wrestling, though, changed right at the last when the Lord said, we're done. The wrestling became a cling. A wrestling is different than a cling in that a wrestling is when you are trying to take down your opponent. By the way, we're talking about God. Huh? Do you have an area where the Lord's wrestled with you a little bit and you shoved at him? Get away! You won't have your way. I'll have my way. And, you know, it's the grappling. It's the saying, I'm going to win and you're going to lose. It's the pushing and shoving. But somewhere in that pushing and that shoving and that grappling, you know, taking part in a fight with God, somewhere he changed it to the, I won't let you go. I won't let you go. It's a sense that, I call it a clutch. It's being frozen in grip. It's a determination that I will not let go, and there will be no end in sight of which I will cling to him. By the way, some of you have been wrestling with the Lord, and today you need to decide for your wrestling to become a cling. Lord, not only will I stop shoving at you, I'll not even just draw you close. I'm going to grab a hold of you, and I won't let go until you bless me. Because by this time in Jacob's life, though he had acquired much wealth, he didn't have what he needed, and his life hadn't changed in a way that he needed to grow up. Do you hear me? So he's grabbing a hold of the Lord, and he's basically saying, Lord, tell me what my life's about. Tell me what your plan is. I've done nothing but screw up my own life. I've done nothing but leave scatter behind in my life. Lord, I don't want to live the rest of my life like that. Don't let me go. Don't let me go until you bless me. It's the opposite of an Acts 9 of a question that Jesus asked the apostle. Well, hadn't become the apostle yet. Saul, on his way to Damascus to kill more Christians. How do you like that? All right? And by the way, have you ever been passionately wrong? You know, that's what he was. I did it. I mean, I shouldn't get a kick out of him going to Damascus and doing what he was going to do, but I've chuckled over that scripture. I thought, I've done that. I have held on to a wrong way with passion, only to realize this is really stupid. Huh? Now, by the way, some of you, well, I'll look in a mirror. Some of us have added dumb to dumb. I call that double dumb. Come on. You know, where we become passionately right about being wrong, we see how we need to be, but we entrench ourselves into the rightness of being wrong. Did you catch that? Because I'm not sure I did, but I attempted to, all right? In that Acts 9 scripture, I think it's about verse number, I'd be giving a guess at it. I think it starts around number 5. There's three questions that are asked by God as he intervenes into Saul's life. First question, I just got to mention it. He said, why are you persecuting me? By the way, Saul wasn't persecuting God. How many of you know that? He was not cursing God. How many of you know that? Do you know that? So we have to realize what he's talking about. He's referring to someone that is standing against and bringing harm against one of his kids. Wow. By the way, let me just loop this around for a minute because somebody was praying for marriages or something earlier. Benita and I have been married 40 years. Yay. She actually likes me. Double yay. I mean, hey, nobody knows me like she does. God knows me more. But nobody knows me like she does. And she still loves me. It's a miracle. All right? I can't earn it. She just loves me. God bless you. All right? But I remember scriptures like Malachi 2 that say, by the way, woe to you who deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. You know what it is her daddy really likes her. And he takes it personally when someone mistreats his girl. Amen. Did you catch that? Yes. He really likes her. That's the same thing going on in Acts 9. Why are you persecuting me? I didn't persecute you. You did my kids. And by the way, the inverse is true too. Especially you women who want to use coldness towards your husband to try and manipulate him. Anyway, sorry. Just skip all that. Take it right out of there.
Go there.
Huh? Go there a little bit. Well, my mom, by the way, I mean, my mom could freeze boiling water. Do you understand? Yeah. Not so much towards her kids. Boy, you cross her, you're gone. You know, she'll freeze you out. Honestly, just could be so cold. She got saved, believe it or not, it changed her. I was amazed. I mean, if you didn't believe in God, just watch what he did in my mom's life. But I realized, though, if Benita were to treat me poorly, she's also treating my dad poorly. Does that make sense to you? Huh? Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'll get on to the next one. It's really where I'm going. Some of you are praying I will. He said, why do you kick against the goads? Now, the picture here is of a shepherd, and the shepherd has got some sheep, and he's got a little shepherd staff, and he sees one sheep. Is it you? Anyway, he sees one sheep, and that sheep, you know, it keeps getting off track. It doesn't know. You know, well, I want to go over here. Grass is looking more over there. Yeah, but there's a mountain lion over there. Get back over here. Get back in track. You need to go that direction. Oh, but I know better because I want to go over there. And the goad is the shepherd's tap on the hip. And it would be, no, there's a cliff over there. Or no, there's briars over there. Or there's things that you're going to get caught in thicket over there. And I don't want your life harmed. By the way, this is real life, folks. This is our relationship with God. That's why the Lord is speaking to Paul about it. And he's saying, why do you kick against the goads? And he's saying, I have a staff. And out of love, I've tapped you. And I've tried to get you out of the thicket. And I've tried to keep you away from the bobcats or whatever it would be. And I've tried to lead you away from the cliffs. But you've kicked against me. And the kick there would be like likened unto the fierceness of a horse kick. How many of you have ever seen a horse kicker? Maybe even on a film. I mean, it's bullet fast and it can be lethal. Dude, you do not want to be kicked by a horse. All right? Let Benita kick you before a horse. All right? I mean, anyway, she can have a pretty good wallop. I have a few bruises. No, anyway. It's the scene of you and me. Or how about I just say me, because you all look so nice. Of me saying, I want my way. Stop it. Stop correcting me. Stop touching me. And it's that sense where he's just trying to bring you and me life. And the Lord would speak to us today and say, respect and love and adore my correction. Because I'm just trying to get you where there's food and safety and fellowship. How many of you have a few areas where you'd say, Rob, I've kicked against the goats? Huh? By the way, I might as well put both my hands there. You know? Huh? Yeah. Lord, instead, my wrestling today is given over to a cling. Whether you're a young man like those handsome guys over there with hair I wished I had, or whether I have to admit, like Chase, I'm an old man. Huh? Hey, he covered his up with a beanie, I notice. Come on. But I want to know the touch. I want to cling to that which receives a blessing in my life and those I represent, in my family, in my church. Amen? Let's look at the second one. I'll go a little faster. Some of you are looking like you're thinking Burger King or one of those. I think when Chase was talking about those pies, every one of us maybe saw those. I don't know if you saw that stuff on the way in. I thought, dude, my stomach started growling. You know, Benita has me on some sort of sugar-free diet. Are you kidding? Can't we take Sunday off? All right. And she's like the food police when it comes to it. Any of you live with somebody like that? This part of I won't let you go until you bless me is the part where you're saying, I've tried all my scheming and it's done. You know, I was looking in Jacob's life and I realized that even when he went to visit Laban, his enemy wasn't Esau. His enemy was him. Some of you and some of me have had to realize a few times that though we might blame others, we're the common denominator. Come on. We'll say, well, it just happens to be that the last 15 friends I've had all happen to be selfish. And they all have that same opinion of me, and I don't know what the deal is. No, maybe it's time that we let the Holy Spirit in and say, look at me. Lord, I will own before you so I can disown it. I will be honest about the things of my life that have been scheming so that my name is no longer liar. Come on. Listen, you're looking at a guy who, if you did know how I was before I was a Christian, you'd be thinking, I don't know that God can change people like that. I was the neighbor that you would pray off your block. Do you understand? I was the person that you didn't want your daughter to go with. I was the person you didn't want your son to hang around. Do you understand? I am so grateful for God and his love. But we change it through that time of coming to the Lord and not using God language to try and hide our ungodliness. Let me tell you one little story, and then we'll go to the last point. In Genesis 27, it's the second betrayal of Jacob to Esau. And what happens is, Isaac is growing old. And by the way, he came from a family of liars. You know, I mean, his mom, Rebecca, you know, she was busy lying and deceiving. His dad was, his grandpa was. Remember the whole deal, Abraham and Sarah? I mean, I know we honor him as, you know, he's a man of faith. Huh? But he's also the guy who's so scared. Hey, by the way, she's my sister. You know, don't kill me, you know, so she can become your wife. She's just my sister. And I think, really? He's kind of, have you ever heard that, you know, about that scripture in Deuteronomy, that curse that happens, gets passed down to the third and fourth generation? How many of you have heard about it? I'm slightly mixing it up, but Jody can, in her pastoring, take care of it next week or something. But I used to think, now, by the way, I mean, this is sick, but I want to tell you. I used to think somehow God was in heaven, and if he saw something my dad did, he was cursing me. You know, it was, well, you know, curse the whole bunch of you. And by the way, our life looked damned. Do you understand? If you knew my family, and there's 10 kids, his, hers, and theirs, you would look and think, wow, there's a lot of brokenness right there. By the way, every one of us got saved. Every one of us got saved. It was not a fast process, and it took a miracle for every one of us, all right? And look at me, you're actually listening to me now, all right? But back in their story, so I was thinking about that curse the third and fourth generation, and I thought, it doesn't fit cover to cover when you wash it through the counsel of God's word. Jesus did not die on the cross so he could come and curse you for what your mama did. Do you understand? He came to redeem us. Yay! So what that scripture is referring to is that somewhere after granddaddy messes up, or grandma, dad, mom, it comes to you and you're taking on your family ways, because we sometimes, though we criticize them, we tend to do exactly what they did unless we deal with it. Do you know that? And somewhere, someone rises up, is it you? And says, my life is going to be different. I will not deal with my wife the way my dad dealt with my mother. And by the way, I won't deal with my wife the way my mother dealt with my father either. Do you hear me? Listen, I'm not picking on my parents, and they're both in heaven, and they're both rejoicing because of the goodness of the Lord. But that wasn't until dad was 57 and my mom was 80. Do you understand? And then they got it. Their lives were transformed. I never heard an I'm sorry out of my dad until he got saved. Then he was willing to deal with the family sin. But God wants to bless. And there are some of you like me that have needed to take a stand and say, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to cheat on. I'm not going to manipulate. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to deny. I'm going to live how God has called me to live. He's my dad. He's showing me the way. Amen? And that's not an insult to my dad. It's a benefit because he got saved through it. But here's Esau being talked to by his blind dad who's getting ready to die and wants some good food, says, go out and hunt me something and make it taste good and bring it in because I'm going to take my blessing and I'm going to put it on you and you'll have it forever. Rebekah hears it from the other room. Esau goes hunting. Harry, remember? Huh? He goes hunting and she calls Jacob in. She said, hey, listen, I'm going to fix up some good food. You're going to take it into your dad, but we need to dress you like you're Esau. Well, Esau was hairy. Do you know how they got Jacob to fool his dad into it being him? They glued. Bible says super glue. No, I'm teasing. Anyway, they used some, I don't know if they used pitch. I mean, can you imagine? Yuck. Anyway, but they used something that glued goat hair, goat skin with hair on it, to his neck so that his dad would think he was Esau. Put it on his arm. So he goes in with his dad, and he's there. And by the way, mom says, also, you don't smell like your brother. Here's a real stinky robe here. You know, you'll smell like him too. Goes in, says, hey, dad, here's the food. Made it for you. And the dad said, it's a little soon. What happened? How were you able to get that game and have it prepared so quickly? And this just disgusts me. I ask you to be disgusted about this too. He says, oh, well, God bless me. Isn't that sick? Have you ever done something like that? Don't answer. I mean, you know, some of us have. It's called religion. You know, man, I want to live rightly before the Lord and love him and have a relationship with him and not play with him, not use him to cover my wrongs and try and make a wrong look right. You understand? So he says, Dad, you know, God bless me. And he said, well, you also don't sound like Esau. Come close. And he feels his neck. Oh, yeah, yeah, the neck of Esau. Oh, yeah, can you imagine? Goat hair. That boy was hairy. Anyway, yeah, your arm, it feels just like Esau. But you still sound like, come here, let me smell you. Oh, yeah, that's Esau, all right. You know, your brother wouldn't dress like that. And so he bestows the blessing on him. And what happens? They no more leave the room, and Esau comes in with the food. Dad, I'm here. I have your dinner, and I'm ready for your blessing. Oh, my word, panic breaks out. He said, I already gave it. I must have given it to your brother. And Esau wanted to kill him. He wanted to murder him. And it's that which he then left to Laban's land. You remember the manipulation of the wives, etc. there. And then 14 years later, now here he is. And he's saying, you know what? I have tried everything I know in my life. And Lord, I'm done. I've been called back. I've exterminated. I've exhausted my efforts. Lord, I need change. And here's the change. It's found in this occult point number 3. What is your name? It's right in verse 27. What is your name? And he's really saying, what is your identity? Who are you? Who have you become? And what does he say? And this is almost to be heard of it in a pitiful way. He said, I'm the supplanter. I'm Jacob. That's what he was saying to God. God knew his name. He wanted to see if he'd risen to a greater level. Do you understand? You know, this is something that God asks us periodically, and we need to answer it. What would you name if you were alone with the Lord? And nobody else to impress, what would you say your identity is? Lord, I'm a failure. Lord, my name is failure. My name is I'm wrong. My name is I'm irresponsible. My name is a divorcee. My name is rejected. You understand? It's that thing that we call ourselves. And the Lord would say, they don't have authority to name you. I name you. And I'm going to give you a new name. Yeah. And by the way, there's another side of that that will look nice, but it's ugly. What's your name? Nice house over there. I got a nice house. What's your name? Nice house. What's your name? BMW. What's your name? Michael Kors. You understand? What's your identity? Where do you find your value? What's your name? Doctorate degree. What's your name? Great education. What's your name? Great position in the company I work for. Prince with God. Because all of that stuff can change with the economy. All that stuff can change in an instant. All that stuff can be crushing to you and feel so iffy. You know, there's other people. What's your name? Depression. What's your name? Anxiety and fear. What's your name? Nobody wants me unless I'm good enough and do good enough. Ah. And so right here in the middle of that, when Jacob's trying to answer him, he then says, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, Prince with God. What's interesting, I'm not going to teach on this, but I'll hear people, well, I'm going to mention it, aren't I, Pastor Jody?
That's good.
It's interesting that I'll ask people, oh, you know, who are you? What's your life about? And they'll tell me different things, negative or positive. And they'll usually say, I am, oh, I'm the corporate head of, or, oh, I am. What's interesting is, I am's the name of God. You know, it's Moses. Who do I tell Pharaoh? Sent me. Tell him I am. Because I is. All right, it doesn't say all that, but it's the I am. I am a son of the Most High God. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am forgiven. I'm accepted in the Beloved. He put a robe on me. In fact, you look at that scripture. In Luke 15, the prodigal son, when he's putting a robe on him just because his boy came home, he didn't even give him a bath first to get rid of the pig stink off of him. By the way, some of us have little smells from certain things from our past. Do you hear me? And we still wear his robe. Favor. I am a person who knows the favor of God. How many of you, I'm closing right now, but how many of you would just say, you know what, Pastor Robbie, I have identified myself with too many wrong things. How many of you like that? Maybe past failures, maybe something, a benefit that you try and hide behind. Let's wrestle with the Lord, and as we do, cling to Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I want to pray for you. Pastor Jody, would you come up here? And I want to pray over your congregation's year. Yeah. By the way, this is really a nice stool to have to set those things on. And Chase might have to sit here. Yeah. Anyway. Jesus loves me. Huh? He speaks in 100 billion failures. Wow. Are swept away. Can I say one more thing?
Please.
Some of them are praying that I shut up, but
the game doesn't start till 4:30.
Oh, yeah, good, good. Super Bowl. Go Patriots. And I forgot what I was going to say. That's probably best. They're cutting me off.
That's why it was a demonic manifestation.
I don't even know who the Patriots are.
They're
playing the Eagles.
It's a dynasty.
They're the ones that's going to lose to the Eagles or something? Yeah, okay, all right. Bow your heads with me. By the way, keep your head bowed. I don't mean to make you wag around, but I do want to say, you know, some of you have not gotten along with others because you've identified yourself wrong. And if you begin to identify yourself correctly, then you begin to not feel so defensive. You let God kiss you and bring confidence into your life, and you get healed. Yay!
Yes.
We don't have to fight with other people. We've been called to love. Huh? Somebody in here needs to build some bridges towards somebody. Maybe it's in your family or relationship you have, and you just even, when I said it, you would have known that was the Lord. And you need to start with the building of that bridge. Put out a bridge span. Forgive. Take the higher ground. We love because he first loved us. Huh? We can have confidence because of who we are in him. So I want to ask, with your head bowed, would you just bow your heads for just a moment? And by the way, how many of you the Lord was speaking right then to say, build a bridge? Wow. Yeah. And I want to stop and just say, in Jesus' name, the Lord help you. The Lord meet you in showing you how to build that bridge where there's been some ruin and some burn. And that the Lord give you a miraculous ability and favor with that person. Might take some time. Might need to rely on the Lord and what he says, not on the reaction of that person. But you stand strong in your love and your bridge building. In Jesus' name. Keep your head bowed. How many of you have an area where you've kicked against the goads a little bit? You've wrestled and the Lord says, I want you to stop kicking and cling to me. And you will right now. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Yeah, all over. Lord, I ask you to miraculously touch this group. Lord, I don't say this tritely, Lord, but you're the answer. We've exhausted ourselves on many things, yet you've been there. Thank you that you're willing to enter into our wrestling and let us cling to say, I won't let you go till you bless me. I won't let you go till you break through my fear. I won't let you go till you help my son or my daughter. I won't let you go till you heal our marriage. I won't let you go till you heal my friendships. I won't let you go until you do that work you've intended for 2018 in my church. I won't let you go. I'll never let you go again. Thank you, Lord. And keep your head bowed. Is there anybody in here? Just the third question. You're away from the Lord and you want to come home to him. Or maybe you're coming back to him. You've walked away from him and he's saying, come home, come home. He's been missing you more than you've missed him. If that's you, just giving your life to Jesus right now or coming back to him, lift your hand so I know it's you. Lift it high. Yeah, you and you and you. And you, yeah, and you, wow, wow, wow. There's a party going on in heaven with a lot of wows. And then let me pray for you. You pray this out loud. And how about everybody join in with this? I love you, Lord Jesus. I use this time to make sure I'm walking in relationship with you. Right now, I give you my life. I've been a bad lord over myself. I surrender to your lordship, to your good shepherd. I've sinned against you. Forgive me. Wash me clean of my failures and my shame. Thank you that you do wash. me white as snow. And as I give you my life right now, I ask you to come in my life. Come live in me by your Holy Spirit. I'm not just letting you in. I want you in desperately. And now by faith, I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. Now train me in your ways, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to pray for this congregation and Pastor Jody and the other part of the team that serves so wonderfully. I ask your strong breakthrough for 2018. I sense it's a year of strength. It's a year of connections. It's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of getting past a few things. And Lord, together, give them their community as you empower and strengthen each one of them. Breakthrough 2018. Wrestling, become a cling, become a blessing, become a new name, a new identity in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I love you all. Good to see you.
Before you leave, please don't leave. Yeah, please, let's applaud Robbie for the word that he brought from the Lord. I heard it twice and I was equally as convicted, both services. Would you stand? I would like to bless you. I want to speak this word over you out of Isaiah 62. Please open your heart to hear this for you. You shall no more be termed forsaken or rejected or stupid or worthless or inadequate or wrong or invalid. For your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called my delight is in her or him. And your land will be married, for the Lord delights in you. And your land, as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Have you ever been to a wedding and you watch the face of the groom as his bride walks in? That's how the Lord looks at you. Your God shall rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I've set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest. Give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem, until he blesses you and makes his praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and his mighty arm, I will never give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall never drink your wine, but for which you have labored, those who garner it shall eat and praise the Lord. Now the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.